Good morning, y'all. That's so sad. I have lots of little people in here today, so I should hear lots of little voices. Good morning, Eagles Way Church. Much better, much better. So some of you know that I will begin my new job in Clayton County as a media specialist. It's just a fancy word for a school librarian. So since I'm going to be a school librarian, I want to tell you a quick story. Starting in January, some of you know that I was very stressed out about getting a job. Media specialist jobs are hard to come by because once people get into those positions, they stay forever until they retire or move or die. They just stay in those jobs because they're such great jobs. So I was just really stressed out about it, really worried about it. And I know Buren tells you not to worry, but you still do it anyway. And I was worried, and but all along, God was working behind the scenes like he always does. And I talked to the principal that hired me on the spot last Friday, and she told me that she had already hired a person for the job that I have right now. She had already hired somebody, but she settled. She said she was not the one that I wanted. She didn't have the strengths and the skills that you have, but I didn't want to go another year without a media specialist. They had a sub all last year. So she told me, she said, Holly, she said, I settled. And she said the day before she was supposed to go in and sign her contract, she called, or she said she didn't even have the courage to call me. She sent me an email and said, I found a better job. I'm sorry. And that was it. That was my job all along, y'all. That was my job. So God worked all of that out. And I've been sitting here worrying and crying and praying and, you know, but God already had that taken care of. She settled, didn't get what she wanted. She hired me on the spot that day. I began working that day that I took the job. Isn't that cool? I'm telling you, God is always working. He's always working it out for us. He's always working it out for our good. So this morning, I want you to think about that. Think about the things that God has been doing, God's been working out in your life while we stand up and praise and worship with our band, okay?
Still. like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that's tested, like a covenant of old, and your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. That's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Thank you.
depths of your being, it is there that I live in constant communion with you. I am with you at all times, encouraging and supportive rather than condemning. I know that deep within you where I live. My peace is your continual experience. Slow down your pace of living for a time. Quiet your mind in my presence. And then you'll be able to hear me bestowing the resurrection blessing. Peace be with you. The Christ Spirit has always been and God our Father united in death to release freedom to everyone. When you find that light, it's Christ shining through the storm. But it's in the darkness, in that sticky battle, in the self-doubt, in your pain. It is there that God the Father sits with you in the darkness. He holds you. He embraces you, and he says, cry because I'm here, and I will keep you safe. That Father, that love, that comfort only gets tapped into when you're being stretched and pulled and broken. It's easy when you see the light, but in moments of complete darkness, that's when we get our Abba Father. When times get tough, he is our protector. We need to be protected. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be split open, and we need the Father. Psalms 116 says, I love the Lord because he hears and continues to hear my voice and supplications, my pleas, my cries, my specific needs, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords and sorrows of death encompass me, and the terrors come upon me. I feel distress and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord, oh, please save my life. Gracious is he, and righteous and compassionate. He protects the simple, the childlike. I was brought low, I was humble and discouraged, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling and falling.
No sense to see. Lord, that you are always for us, that you are always with us, you are always in front of us, behind us. We have nothing to fear, God, because of your presence, of your love. We thank you, God, that no matter what storm we go through, God, that you work all things for our good. And we can trust in your faithfulness. We can trust in your love. We will praise you, God, in the hard times, Lord. We will praise you in the best of times, Lord, because you are worthy and you are good. And we give you praise this morning. And everyone says, amen.
I'm back again. Anybody see these come home with their kids over the last 2 months or so? Anybody? Hope so. Thank you. These are our rice bowls. These last 2 months in EWC Kids, we've been talking about how the story of Jesus changes everything. And part of that was we ordered these rice bowls. And the kids took them home and they filled them up for 2 months. This one's got a little bit of change in it. Some of them are so heavy, I couldn't even bring it up here. So, but the kids have been collecting them. We've got a quick video. You see, one full bowl feeds a kid for an entire month. That's amazing to me. They give this money to orphanages and they buy rice and meat and things like that. The video will show you more about that, okay? All right, so now it's time for our rising sixth graders to come up front. Where are my rising sixth graders? What? Come on, give them a big round of applause while they come up. Do y'all remember going to middle school or to sixth grade? And how, I'm not going to say scared because Landon Goss would never be scared of anything. Neither would Carson. But you were kind of, you know, intimidated, right? Right? All right, so we have, are there any other rising sixth graders here that are not regular attenders? Anybody? No? Okay. All right, so I'm going to go around and let you say your names on the microphone. You do that, Cameron? No, yeah, you will.
Cameron Clay.
Bella.
Ayers.
Carson Gaston.
Ella Fullup.
Aniston Thurston.
Landon Goss.
I'm so proud of these guys, and I love doing this every year, but it's also very sad because I love these rising sixth graders. They are the core of EWC Kids, and I'm sad to see them go, but they've been going every Sunday in June and July up with Pastor Brian, and they've enjoyed it, and they've been able to kind of get acquainted so it's not just all thrown on them next week. So who's going to pray over these kids? And I've got a Bible for you, too. I will explain to you about the Bibles. But Pat, here's Pastor Buren to pray.
Awesome.
Oh, you don't need a microphone?
No, I'm good. Out there. If you don't have the New Living Translation, I encourage you to get it. You'll understand every single word that it says. I assure you of that. So here's you one. And now, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the progression that we go through in life from decade to decade and years to years. Thank you that we're always learning about you. And thank you that we're always learning about how much you're learning about us and how much you love us. And so we just bless them as they go forward, Lord, into this new spiritual area of their life. And we just thank you that they will mature and continue to grow in wisdom and in stature. And in the nurture and the wisdom of God. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the teachers. Thank you for Holly and all the things that they've put in them over these years. And we bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Amen.
Oh, go give that to Anna Tackle.
Anna Tackle. Bless you. Anybody else? All right. God bless. Got a few extra Bibles we'll sell for $50 each. They're really good. All right. You ready to go? Not home. This Wednesday night, we're not actually kicking off the school, which we've renamed. This is our third annual School of Positive Thinking that we do on Wednesday nights. But this year, we renamed it to Intentional Mind, a journey to positive thinking. Now, this Wednesday is our first Wednesday, and I'm really going to kick this thing off and really going to talk about this journey of positive thinking. But intentional is a strong word, and I looked it up several years ago because the Bible says no man who intends to build a house doesn't first set and sees that he has enough material to complete it. No man intending to go to war doesn't first of all make sure he's got enough men to win the war. And so, you know, and I'm sure you've all heard this said before, well, I had good intentions. Well, if you didn't do it, you didn't have good intentions. Because intention means a strong purpose or aim accompanied by determination to produce a desired result. Intention is a strong purpose or aim accompanied by determination to produce a desired result. I've told the story before. It's one of my favorite stories, though, of the horse, racehorse, and the owner of the racehorse. The horse never had won a race, and so he went and told him the night before a big race. He said, if you lose this race, you're going to be pulling the milk wagon the next morning. And so the horse got in the gate, and the gate opened up, and all the horses took off. And sure enough, this horse started to the back, and he ended up in the very last place, and he's going around the last turn, and the jockey's just beating him, and the horse looks around at him and says, hey, man, take it easy on me. I got to get up early in the morning. Now, he didn't have any intentions to win to start with. He had no intentions to win. He knew the next morning he was going to be pulling the milk cart anyway. And so I looked up this word intention, and it also, one of the, you know how Webster gives a lot of different definitions, and so there was like 1, 2, 3, 4 that could mean this, means that. Then it said to be resolute. To be resolute. And resolute, I looked it up, and it meant to a progression of a chord from a dissonance to a consonance. Now, if you're like me, you don't have a clue what that meant. But I thought, if I'm looking up this word intention, and if intention means to have a strong purpose, to have an aim, to have a desired result, and it really means to be resolute, and resolute means from going from a progression of a chord from a dissonance to a consonance, well, that must mean something. So I called Kitty, and I said, Kitty, what does this mean musically? Because I know it means something. So we're going to aggravate you really bad. Let me tell you before we do this, it's better not to know something than to know something and not to carry it through. See, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, bring it to a result. It's not, I don't need to just know how to know what's good. I need to do good. I don't need to know what I need to do. I need to do what I know to do. Did you get that? Okay. So, a lot of times people get this word in them, they get this resolute begins with a dissonant chord, and a dissonant chord is you got it in you, it's kind of, you know, but you ain't worked it out yet. You with me? Well, you'll be with me in a moment. This is a dissonant chord. One more time. One more time. All right, now let's go from a dissonance chord to a consonance chord. Isn't that better? And man, it was resolute. It got to its intended purpose. God has an intended purpose for you. You know, you may say, you know, I've been to this school of positive thinking for 2 years in a row. Really? You got it? You got your diploma? You graduated? You got it all together now? You're all positive, huh? Did Did you happen to have a negative thought this week, Jason? You've been to the school, haven't you? But you still had a negative thought? My gosh. Anybody else been through it? And did anybody else besides Jason? Did you have a negative thought? Oh, Penny. Well, oh, come on. You're a pastor. What do you mean you had a negative thought? 2 years you went to school. My, Dr. Ralph, did you possibly?
Fleeing.
So, what we need to understand is we got to continue on this course. It's not something you just get and it's a done deal. As long as you're walking and breathing and in this body, you're going to be in a battle. And you're going to have to battle some thoughts. Because the warfare that we're really in is between our ears. Everything that happens to us happens between the ears. It's how we think is how we act. How we think is how we behave. And we need to change our thoughts so we can change our thinking, so we can change our talking. And we can become what God wants us to become. I'm glad the kids are in here, because we're going to give you three, what I've called three of the most awesome principles in the world. Three of the most awesome principles in the world. I saw in one of Ralph's blogs this week, he talked about how that we need to be principle-centered. Principle-centered. You see, what a principle is something that I live my life by. And I stay principle-centered. I don't take my mind off of it. I don't stop focusing on it. Because to focus on it, it means that principle will become who I am. It'll become not just some knowledge that I've learned, but it become a being that I am. It becomes part of me. And Jesus, in a short passage of Scripture, said three principles that absolutely will revolutionize your life, will cause you to have peace and joy and happiness, will cause you to be in a frame of mind that you always need to be in, will cause you to be blessed beyond any measure that you could ever imagine. And it's three simple things. And in Luke chapter 6, he begins and he says, "But to you who are willing to listen." That's a strong statement. I picked up my Bible a while ago. I just opened it up to this text and I thought, this is the first thing we need to talk about this morning. Are you willing to listen? I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who hurt you. Okie dokie. Wow. Really? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you? How do you love your enemies? Well, there's several Greek words for love, and there's a Greek word eros for love, and it's the love of a man and a woman to a man. It's a passionate love they have for one another. It oftentimes ends up in marriage, and they make covenant with one another to spend the rest of their life together loving one another and serving one another and giving to one another. And then there's a love, a filial love. It's a fondness love. It's a love for a friend. It's a love that two people have. It's not a passionate, erotic love. It's just a love of friendship. It's a love of fondness, a love of, I really like being with you. It's love, I really like playing golf with you, Billy. That's the filial love. It's a fondness love. But then there's this love called agape. And it's not a fondness love. It's not a passionate love. As a matter of fact, it's simply a love of the will. It has nothing to do with emotions. Has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm willing to do that. And the way I love my enemies, I'm not ooshy-gooshy love with my enemies. I mean, if you slap me on the cheek, it's going to be difficult. But if I really do what the scripture says, I'll just turn the cheek. But I've got to really be prepared for that because, you know, and let me tell you something. Very few of us, if not probably 99.9% of us, will never, ever in your lifetime ever be truly slapped. Never be truly slapped. Now, I came up in a neighborhood, and I came up in school, and I came up in a I did get slapped. I have been physically slapped. As a matter of fact, the most biggest black eye I ever got was my best friend, one of my best friends at that time, got floored, J.D. The guy just knocked him down. Well, I stepped up and was going to, what'd you do to my friend? Well, I was down with my friend. And I woke up the next morning with a big black eye. And my daddy said, what happened to you? I said, I took up for a friend. He said, you lost. You and your buddy lost. But there's been times I've been slapped in my spirit. I've been slapped in my heart. I've been slapped where it really, really hurts. And the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is right out of the pit of hell. That's a lie, because the most things that will hurt you will be words. But he says, your response is, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you. Because in Romans 12, verses 19 through 21, this is what it says. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. They're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Listen to this. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Conquer evil by doing good. Most of Christianity today has turned what is pure Christianity into a religion of not doing things, of not doing evil, of not doing this and not doing that. But true Christianity is not about not doing anything. It's about doing everything. He didn't say overcome evil by not letting evil overcome you. He put it in a positive posture. Overcome evil by doing good. You overcome evil not by not doing evil. You overcome evil by doing the opposite. By doing good. You see, Christian ethics is positive, not negative. Most people still live in the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Jesus came along and said, it hath been said this, but I say this. Let me take a twist to it and go from the negative aspect of the law to the positive aspect of it. Not what you're not to do, but what you ought to be doing. How you ought to be living. And so Jesus goes on to say in Luke, after he says, love your enemies, he says, do unto others as you would like them to do to you. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. It's not about not doing things. It's rather doing things. Listen. Hillel, who was a great teacher of the law, one of his students came to him one time and Spence, I'm sure you've read this sometimes in your lifetime of ministry. A student came to him and said, Hillel said, I want you standing on one foot, one leg, give me the essence of the law. So I'm assuming he did. He stood on one leg and he said, what is hateful to thee, do not do to another. What is hateful to thee, do not do to another. Now, how many agree that's a good posture to take in life? It's a good posture. Filio said, what you hate to suffer, do not do to anyone else. Socrates said, what things make you angry, when you suffer them at the hands of others, do not do to other people. It's good stuff. Confucius said, what you do not want done to you, do not do to others. That's good. And that, being that all these other guys had a statement, I thought, well, Buren needs to say something. So I came up with mine. What I don't want said about me, I don't say about other people. Now, all of us had good statements. Even mine was right up there with the rest of them, I thought. I mean, I thought I was right there with Socrates and the rest of them. That came right out of my heart. I didn't read it anywhere. What I don't want said about me, I don't want to say about you. And that's good stuff. But Jesus took it to a higher level. And he says, do unto others what you would have done to you. That's a total different ball game. It's easy, Spence, not to do. Ain't no big deal. Not to do something is no big deal to me. Not to say something bad about you, Chris, it's not a big deal. But to say something good, sometimes I have to. You know. Yeah, you know. And so I love you. I really do. You're looking good. Who ate Shrek, man? Where'd Chris go? Here he is. But you know, it's easy for me not to say something about my son-in-law. But it's taken to a higher level when I walk up to him and say, I really love you and thank you for being good to my family. Thank you for my grandkids and thank you for how you treat my daughter. Thank you for the love and respect that you give me all the time. That's taken it to a higher level. It's one thing to not tell Billy something bad, but it's another thing to walk up to him and tell him how much I really love him and appreciate him and how much better golf I play because of you. I still remember those things way back when, those little things, and every now and then they come to my mind. Thank you for just being who you are. It's taking it to another level when you walk up to somebody and you carry it to action. When you say it, when you do it. When you say it, when you do it, that's a whole new ball game. It's a whole new game, whole new level. Oh, I think about doing a lot of good things a lot of times, like just like you do. Yeah, I'll preach you in a moment. Yeah, you're riding home and you think about good stuff. You think about saying some really good things to your wife or to your husband or to somebody. You really think about doing it. Then when you get there, they have this scour look on their face. And you go, what am I going to do now? Now all of a sudden it just flies out the window. But what would happen if you went and followed through with it? It's when, you know, I hadn't had such a great day. Barbara's got all these good thoughts about me during the day, and she wants to say them to me, but she gets home. She looks at me. I just don't look like the type of person you ought to say something good to. You just don't seem like you're worthy. So I'm just going to hold this thought till you get worthy. I'm glad Jesus didn't hold the thought till I got worthy. And that when I was yet a sinner, he loved me and gave himself for me. And while I was still way, way far away from him, he was so close to me, not waiting for me to be worthy of his goodness. The very essence of Christian conduct is that it consists not in refraining from bad things, but actively doing good things. The essence of Christianity is not in the refraining of doing bad things, is actively engaging in doing good things. It's easy not to. Takes it to a higher level when you do it. Last, Jesus said, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to you. Now, I believe the Bible's clear in other passages of Scripture about monetary giving. And if you give monetarily, you'll receive monetarily. There's scriptures in the Old Testament. There's scriptures in the New Testament. Paul said that if we give monetarily, the measure that we give will be given back to us. Give, you can't outgive God. We've heard all those things. But I don't believe that in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about monetary giving. I believe he's talking about giving of yourself, giving kindness, giving encouragement, giving love. What we give will be given back to us. If you want love, guess what? Give love. You want encouragement? Give encouragement. The Bible says you want mercy? Give mercy. You want peace? Give peace. You want joy? Give joy. In James chapter 1, James says, it's not the hearers of the word, but it's the doers of the word. For the hearer of the word only, and I'm about to give you a revelation that I just got this week. This is a very, you're going to like this. You're going to look at the word of God in a whole different light than you've ever looked at it before. It says, the guy who listens to the word is like a man who looks in a mirror. And then he goes away and he forgets what he looked like. But the man who intently, as the word intentional, the man who intently, carefully looks into the perfect law that sets him free and does what it says and doesn't forget what he heard, then God will bless him for doing it. Kiddies, you're coming. I want you to see what the word is. We gave this Bible to these kids. I don't want them to see this Bible as a book of don'ts. I don't want them to open it up and see what they are not supposed to do. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. Don't. Most kids think their name is don't or no. They hear don't so much and know so much, they get confused who they really are. I want them to read this and see who God says they are. I want them to see it's not a perfect law of doing. It's not a perfect law of bondage. It's a perfect law of liberty. It sets them free. You see, they both realize, both people who look in a mirror realize they're looking at themselves. And yes, when you look in the mirror, it is what it is. You see in yourself for really who you are. It's not distorted. It's not a bad reflection. You're seeing yourself for who you really are. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look in the mirror and I go, phew. I really didn't know I looked like that. And then after a little preparation, looks a little bit better. Well, I'll tell you what this word of God is. When you look into the mirror, you see yourself for who you really are. Not bad, not evil, good. You see your reflection of Christ who has redeemed you. They both realize they're looking at themselves, but for one, it seems too good to be true. He departs back to his old way of seeing himself. He forgets what he saw in the mirror, never giving another thought to the one he saw in the mirror. But the one who really looked carefully and intently is mesmerized by what he sees. He sees this liberty and this image and the likeness of God that's been revealed in Christ in him. And that now he's redeemed. And he's the man that he really saw in the mirror of God's word. He didn't see himself as evil. He saw himself as created in the likeness and in the image of Almighty God. He saw himself redeemed, not ashamed, and made whole. He saw himself forgiven. He saw himself and truly in the light that God sees him. Not in the light that he saw himself before he looked into the mirror. But the God that says to him, I am who you say that I am. And you are who I say that you are. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the elect. You are the forgiven. You are the ones that he has come to redeem. You are his children. You belong to him. You have the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through your veins. You come from a royal family, a royal priesthood. You come from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you see yourself in that light, in that mirror, you don't look at it and say, though, this is too good to be true. No, this is where you originated from. This is who you really are. And you don't forget because you look with intent. You look carefully. And then you can say, by the grace of God now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to give an altar call this morning. It's different than anyone I've ever given. And this is what I want you to do. If you want to make a commitment today that I'm going to get off the don't wagon and on the do wagon, I'm going to get off of the negative and on to the positive. I'm going to get off of seeing myself the way I see myself, or maybe others see myself. I want to see myself the way God sees me. I want to become the doer. I want to do unto others as I want them to do to me. If you're here today, and maybe you've never accepted Christ, but you can do that just by standing. Or you can make this commitment. If you're married, oh, you need to get this commitment in you. I want to do to you what I want you to do to me. You want to make that commitment? You stand to your feet right now and say, I'm going to become the doer of the word. Not a hearer only, a doer. I want to do it. I want to start making that step. I'm going to start progressing into not thinking about it. I'm going to do it. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the being who God's called you to be really happens. And you'll find something in life. You'll find out that the only thing I know of, only thing I know of that's not too good to be true is what he says about us. This is not too good to be true. There's some things in life I hear is too good to be true. You get the phone call, you got this vacation, free vacation. It's too good to be true. And I tell them sometimes, this is too good to be true. Come on. You really going to take me to the Bahamas for nothing? Really? Really? It seems like too good to be true, but it's not. It's not too good to be true. You are created in the likeness and the image of God. You are who God says you are. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are forgiven, and you have no guilt, you have no shame. You are who God says you are. This is not too good to be true. It's too good not to be true. Too good not to be true. So, I'm driving down the road, and I was on my way to Peachtree City the other morning, And just out of nowhere, God speaks to me and he says, stop believing for miracles. Well, that got my attention. I said, stop believing for miracles. He says, start expecting miracles. And start seeing miracles in every place you look. And so me and Michael Thurston are headed to Cologne, Georgia, yesterday morning to Randy King's father's memorial service. Anybody ever heard Culloden, Georgia? When I saw it, I thought it was Culloden, Georgia. That's how I said it. So I said, no, it's Culloden, Georgia. I said, what? This place is about 30 minutes from here. Go through Barnesville. Go all the way through Barnesville and you come to a roundabout. When you go through the roundabout, you just go straight. And you go straight into Culloden. We got there and there's this Methodist church built in 1809. The oldest functioning building, church building in Georgia. Y'all hadn't even been there. You didn't even know it existed. It was amazing. What was amazing is that old church upstairs, there was the slave quarters. There was where the slaves sat. Slaves sat up there. Now, here on the bottom, Susan, another little place over here, that's where the slaves sat apart. In Culloden, Georgia, in 1809. But in 2016, it's integrated. And about, I would say, 40%, wouldn't you say 30, maybe 30, 40%, of the congregation that was in that old church building yesterday morning was African Americans. And what I noticed was how the white people and the African Americans, how they were interacting in the same building that when it was built, they couldn't sit out here with us. But now we're loving on each other and enjoying this. That was pretty awesome. But let me tell you what was more as awesome as that. There was a woman pastor. you talking about? I'm sitting there thinking, 1809, all these decades, how far we've come. Wow. And I said, God, let this be a sign to me. I want us to see if we can go that far in Culloden, Georgia. What can we do? Let's keep going, okay? What we see today can only be more in the days to come. What we know today can only be made known more in the days to come. The positive that I live now can only be more positive in the days to come. The image I see myself in Christ today can only be more of an image I see myself in the days to come. Amen. Boy, you should have seen them interacting, how it looked so natural. And that's the way it's supposed to look. Just natural. I believe you heard it this morning. I really do. I think you finally got it. I really do. And that surprises me. I really think you got it. I really, sometimes I'm not an idiot. I know I act like one sometimes. You think, I'm not fooled by you looking at me on Sunday morning. Oh, that was so good. I'm just going to go out and do it. I look at you and I know, God, gosh, it's like the mule looking at a new gate. They didn't get it. They hadn't got it. They ain't getting nothing. They're going to go out and do the same thing they did this past week, live the same way they live. But you know what? You got it today. You got it. Mike Thompson, you got it today. You're going to be so good to me. You got it. Say, I got it. Thank God. You say, I got it. I'm going to do it. Oh, whoa. Uh-oh. One more time. I got it. Gotta do it. There you go. Now, that's what it takes. You ready? boom.
You may be seated. If you have your connection card, hope you have filled that out. If you're a member, if you're a visitor, thank you for being here. If you'll fill that out, we also have a free gift for you at the booth out there as you were leaving. But a lot of important information that is in there as our ushers are going ahead and preparing to receive our morning's tithes, offerings, and alms. Lots of things coming up that we need your help with. I announced last Sunday that our prospective member lunch was April 3rd. Didn't realize that's what I said, but that's what I said. It is not April 3rd. It is next Sunday, August 7th. So if you are interested in more, not a member of the church, and you are interested in more information about membership and what that means, we would love to invite you to a light lunch right after the service next week. All you have to do is mark on that card that you are interested, and we will make sure that you have all of those details. In your bulletin was a flyer about our public safety, the city of Griffin. We're doing a public safety appreciation family barbecue. That barbecue is also for you, but we need your help to serve it. That will be out at City Park, so if you want to help with that, we would greatly appreciate that. We always, each month, are doing the Rushton Hope Project, cooking and feeding, and so you can sign up for those type of things. And it seemed like there was one more. Oh, don't forget, this Wednesday night is our first Wednesday, and it is a tremendous time of worship, very relaxed, casual, but it's very intimate, and so we encourage you to be here and be a part of that. Always love on the fifth Sunday of each month having our children in here with us, helping us. Not only does it give our teachers a break every quarter, it gives them an opportunity to experience church in here, so they can go back and emanate that. And on the first Sunday of each month, the youth are with us, so they will be with us next week. Let's pray and let's bless this. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we can give our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, that you use that to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we want you to stand and we're going to worship. If you have a prayer need, we're going to have a pastor over here on the left and over here on the right, and I'll be down front. And you can come and do that. Also, this morning is our alms offering, which it goes to help those that are in a time of need, both in the house and outside of the house. That's how we do a lot of that. So if you want to come and give to that, you can.
Come. first, we're not last. And I thank you, Lord, that you provide everything. You've already provided everything we need. It's within us to go forth and be the person that you've called us to be. And I bless you this week. Have a great week.